Gracious God, we come to you today on this Mother's Day from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. And so we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Well, I'm lucky on this Mother's Day, I get to share the message with one of the coolest moms that I know, my wife, and I'll let her introduce herself.
Well, my name is Julie, and most of the time during the day, I spend with our two children whom I homeschool, and we love to get out and about. Just a little bit about me, but also here at church, I'm involved in the Sparks ministry and married people.
Nice. So Julie's going to help me with the message today. In the 11th service, we have been in a series all about the Holy Spirit. Every year we have Pentecost where we talk about the Spirit. This year, we wanted to take a few weeks leading up to Pentecost to gain a deeper understanding of the Holy Spirit and the role of the Spirit in our lives. In week one, we talked about the promise of the Spirit, that Jesus promised everyone who believes in him that he would give us the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that helped create the world, the same Spirit that empowered our ancestors in faith, the same Spirit that brought Jesus into the world, raised Jesus from the dead. That's the same Spirit that Jesus promised his followers would be with us and be in us. And in week one, we talked about how the Spirit is a Spirit of help, Spirit of truth, Spirit of love, Spirit of power. And Jesus offers that to anyone who turns to him in faith and asks for the Spirit.
And last week, Dawn talked about being led by the Spirit, and she had three main points. The first was expect the Spirit to lead. The second, listen to the Spirit. And the third, the hardest, obey the Spirit's leading.
Nice. And today we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. When you walked in, hopefully you got a puzzle piece. It probably wasn't this big. Did everybody get a piece? If you didn't, we have some more available. But by getting this gift, automatically, you are now part of something bigger than yourself. That you have a necessary piece in a greater whole. You have a unique place where you fit. And this is not a gift that you're meant to just hang on to. It's a gift that you're meant to use. And you need everybody working together, using their gifts, or else the whole puzzle is incomplete. We thought that was a great illustration of gifts of the Spirit. Because as we're going to see in our scripture reading today, the Spirit gives a gift to everyone who enters into God's family by faith. And through that gift, you become a necessary, unique piece of a greater whole. We're going to be reading today from 1 Corinthians 12. And we invite you to follow along. You have Bibles in front of you or behind you on your pew. If you want to use your Bible app, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12. We're actually reading through the whole thing, so you may want to get it so that you can reference and go along with us. And while we do that, Julie's going to give some background. And I actually think you're right. Why don't we stand up here, because I feel like it'd be easier to see people.
So on Mother's Day, you know, generally we write, I'm going to fall over. We write cards or letters to women in our lives who we dearly love. Well, Corinthians, the book, is a letter that Paul wrote to a community of faith who he dearly loved. And Paul was a missionary in the early church, and he had two main purposes: to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and to start churches. Both he did prolifically. And so Corinth was a city, and the church he started in Corinth is now in modern-day Greece. And a lot of times he was far away from them in distance, but never far from his heart. And so every church, as with most churches, every church he started, he would write letters to them. And these letters would be encouragement, they'd be correction, and they'd be guidance. And so the part we're going to read is Paul is writing this part to them, and they need a bit of correction and guidance in regards to gifts of the Spirit.
We're going to read through most of 1 Corinthians 12, but we'll do it in some sections. And the first section is verses 1 through 3. Paul writes, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, I will write about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of us. For I must correct your misunderstandings about them. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know how to discern what is truly from God. No one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus, and no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." There's a lot of movies out now about people with superpowers. Anybody see Avengers yet? I'm just curious. Yeah, there's a lot of those movies out there. And what's neat is when you come into God's family, you're given superpowers. The Holy Spirit gives you supernatural abilities for a purpose. We'll find out more about that purpose as the reading goes on, but one is crystal clear. One purpose of the Spirit's gifts is to glorify Jesus. It's not about glorifying ourselves. Paul said, you can't curse Jesus and have a gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit leads you to say, Jesus is Lord. And so one thing to get clear right from the very beginning is that these gifts are not about us. It's not about glorifying ourselves, not about bringing attention to ourselves. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to help us glorify Jesus and bring attention to him.
All right, in the next part, we're going to start reading at verse 4. Now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. I just love these verses because you see the repeating pattern. He said, we have different gifts. We have different ways of serving. We have different ways of God working through us. But in each of those verses, he says, it's the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. So the Holy Spirit comes in. He's bearing these gifts to us, and they all come from God, which is pretty cool. And then verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. So gifts aren't only given to us, but they're meant to be given through us. So if you think about my obnoxiously large puzzle piece here, you were each given one. They're all different. They're meant to be used, not just sitting on the shelf. They're all unique. They're all necessary. It's the same way when you look at the Spirit. We are united then with using these gifts for the same purpose, which is to glorify Jesus and to serve the church. That's pretty cool. Our 4-year-old daughter, sitting right here, she is blessed by my good friend and all the female members of my family, who she's sitting with clothing. Go figure. But she's 4, so what happens is every season, we are left with clothes that no longer fit. And so when she was born, we didn't really know what to do with them. So we just kind of bagged them up and put them away, and we didn't use them. We didn't, you know, they're just out of sight, out of mind. But my mom solved our problem, and she met this family, and they were in need of baby's clothes. And we're like, we have baby's clothes. And so we were able to bless this family with all of these clothes, but it didn't stop there, because this family then ships the clothes off to Indiana to a family who's in need of these clothes because the dad is going through a battle with cancer. And so these gifts aren't just given to us, but they're given through us. And it's just creating a blessing down the line.
As Paul continues, he mentions the spiritual gifts. We're going to read through some of those in verse 8. Paul writes, "To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another. And to someone else, he gives the power to heal the sick. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and to another, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it's really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, and another is given the ability to interpret what's being said." He goes on then all the way down in verse 28. to mention more. Here is a list of some members that God has placed in the body of Christ. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who can get others to work together, and those who speak in unknown languages. I know that's a lot to digest. We wanted to go through it and break down each one with you and help relate it to our context so you can see that the gifts of the Spirit really are still alive and active in our church today. First, he mentions those who give wise advice. You've probably met someone like this. Maybe you are someone like this who just has a really good perspective, a neat way of looking at things. Someone who gives helpful suggestions when you need it. That's a gift of the Spirit. Second, Paul mentions special knowledge. He's not here today, but I think about someone like Robert Giese, just a brilliant mind who's able to connect science and faith. If you've ever been a part of his science and faith classes, they're so enlightening. God has given him special knowledge, and he's using that to help other people know God. It's a spiritual gift. Third, Paul mentions special faith. Faith itself is a gift from God. But the Spirit gives some of us an increased capacity to trust in God. We have a generosity team at our church that the purpose is to deepen the value of generosity within our congregation. One of the team members is named Zach Larson. And I think the Spirit has given Zach a supernatural ability to trust in God. His trust in God allows him to give extravagantly through his financial resources, trusting that God will provide and that God will use his gifts to be a blessing. And that supernatural faith in Zach inspires me to grow in my generosity and in my faith and trust in God. The fourth, he mentions the power to heal. This is a real gift of the Spirit. I had the opportunity to take a mission trip to Honduras. And while I was there, I got to witness a healing. There was a woman who came to our medical clinic and one of her eyes was blind. And she wasn't asking for anything special. But while the team was praying with her, she started to say, "My eye is burning. My eye is burning." And when the prayer was done, she could see out of her eye. I mean, everybody in the team was just blown away to see the Spirit heal in such a profound way. Now back here, I see the Spirit healing in many ways, not just in supernatural moments of healing, but I think about our widows' grief group that meets together and how the Spirit is empowering them to heal from the loss of loved ones. I think about our new mental health ministry and how God is using that already to help people heal from mental illness, from addiction, from suicide. The Spirit is alive and active. There's more.
The next one is performing miracles. Last week, our neighbor invited us over to his house because one of his friends was in town from India. And apparently, this friend had grown up in an orphanage in India. He was an orphan. And after that experience, he felt called to start an orphanage. And so he didn't have a lot of connections. He didn't have a lot of resources. But there was a wealthy woman who had an encounter with an orphan, and it changed her life. And she made it her life's mission then to fund people who wanted to start orphanages. And so the miracle is that thousands of kids are being helped and taken care of, and hundreds of orphanages are being started so that we can be God's hands and feet, that we can take care of the kids that need it.
And what does she call her foundation?
Oh, yeah, Miracle Foundation. That's pretty awesome. The next one is prophecy, the ability to speak, preach, share a message from God. Now, in this service, you have an actual liturgical team. That's a hard word for me to get out, but a liturgical team. And what they do is they pray and they listen to God and listen to God and feel his prompting. And they end up writing all of your prayers and all of the liturgy throughout the service, which is amazing. And then also your music team, they share a message from God. They share God's message. They tell us things about God and through their songs and through their music. The next one is discernment, and that's the ability to sense right from wrong, godly from ungodly, if something's of God or not of God. And this is practical everyday things. Like, so think about, you know, the books you read, the movies, the music you listen to think, be able to discern, you know, is this something that's from God or is this something that's taking me away from God? And the next one is to speak in unknown languages and interpret. And so at Pentecost, obviously, the Spirit of God came crashing down on the disciples, and they were able to speak in languages that was able to multiply the good news out into the world. Today, we have a lot of people in our church who are really great at learning languages. And not only that, but every time the mission trips go down to Guatemala or Honduras, they're able to use interpreters and used to be able to share the good news through using people who know language.
And at the very end, that verse 28, Paul recaps some of the gifts he's mentioned, but then adds a few more, three last ones. He mentions the gift of teaching. And that's not just teaching as a preacher. I give thanks for all the people who use the gift of teaching all throughout the generations in Good Shepherd, those who are teaching in the nursery, teaching our children in Sparks, teaching our middle school students, God bless them, high school students, adults who are teaching small groups and Bible studies. The Spirit gives the gift to teach. This next one doesn't sound very fancy, but it's so important. The gift of helping others. You might think like, wow, that's not too exciting, but nothing could happen in our church without people to help. I mean, how would a service happen if you didn't have people to help greet or welcome? To help with the offering or communion, to help with setup and teardown. I meet with our directors every week, and there's not a director in our church who would say, yeah, no, we couldn't use a few more helpers in our ministry. The Spirit gives the gift of helping to forward the work that God is calling us to do. And then the last gift that Paul mentions is the gift of getting others to work together. I call that the gift of leadership. These are people who can organize, who can recruit, who can develop, help things run smoothly. And that's such an important gift in the church, the gift of leadership. Now, I know that was a lot. It probably felt like drinking through a fire hose. But we really wanted to break it down and show you that the Spirit is still alive, still giving gifts today. And maybe as we were going through that, you started to think about some of the gifts that maybe the Spirit has given you. And that's not an exhaustive list. If you want to dive deeper and do more study on your own, you can look in Romans chapter 12. You can look in Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4. But the thing that we want you to know is that the Spirit gives gifts to the church, to each of us.
All right, the next section, we're going to start at verse 11, and we're going to go all the way to 19. Okay. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up only one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit, and we have all received the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, well, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am only an ear and not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? So suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would it hear? Or if your whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? I'm sorry, I think that part's so funny. But God made our bodies with many parts, and he has put each part just where he wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it only had one part. I always laugh so hard when I read that, because thinking about your body as a big ear or a big nose, you know. But that's the cool part, is Paul saying, you know, you need a diversity of gifts in order to bring unity, to make one body work. And so I love the analogy of the body because, you know, thinking about it, if we were all one thing, that would be hilarious, first of all, but really impractical.
And Paul says, we are the body of Christ. What a fascinating concept. I mean, Jesus is no longer present on earth in a physical body, and he makes us his body on earth. I ran across a poem that I think is meaningful. It says, he has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no voice but our voice to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to lead them to his side. We are the body of Christ, and the Spirit gives each of us a gift so that we can be part of that body. But there were some misunderstandings about the spiritual gifts, and we condensed it into two big misunderstandings, and Julie will take the first.
So the first one is that some of us have the thought that we're not needed. For some reason, you know, when in the scripture it says, well, the foot says, well, I'm not a hand, you know, they don't really need me, I'm not part of the body. Or, you know, the ear was like, well, I'm not an eye, so I'm not really, you know, that important. But the truth is, it's easier for us to see what we aren't rather than what we are. It's easier for us to see the gifts we don't have rather than the gifts that we do have. And this can be really hard because then we begin to compare ourselves to others and we can begin to feel insignificant or begin to feel that our gifts are insignificant. Or we can wish we had other gifts. I would love to sing. I cannot sing. But I sometimes can catch myself coveting those who can sing. And this is the same thing that was happening in Corinth. You see, they were starting to overemphasize certain gifts. So in Corinth, if you could speak in tongues, you were considered super spiritual.
And sometimes we do the same thing today, like Julie was saying, that we overemphasize certain gifts, often the upfront gifts, the people who can preach well, the people who can sing well, the people who can pray in public and write. Those are the gifts we overemphasize. And when we do that, then some people start to think, well, maybe I don't have anything special to offer. Or we start to think, maybe the church doesn't really need me. That's false. Spiritual gifts are the great equalizer. The Spirit gives gifts to every single one of us. Just like every one of you were given a piece of the puzzle, that puzzle is incomplete without you. You have a needed piece. The same is true when it comes to spiritual gifts. The Spirit gives every single one of us a gift. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, the Spirit gives you a gift, which means you are now needed. You have something to offer.
Yeah, this is kind of like if you think about when you want your house cleaned. It is a lot easier when everyone does their assigned tasks regularly, consistently, and diligently, right? Rather than one person trying to do everything. It's a lot easier when everyone helps out.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
The same. Why are you laughing? That's not funny. But the same is true in church, isn't it? I mean, when we all work together, we can do so much more. Every week after this service, we tear down and put things away. And when everyone's working together, it flies through. But if that were to fall just on a few people, all of a sudden, that becomes a monumental task. Every single one of you is needed. Every single one of you has something to offer. And without you, the whole suffers. Without you, there's something missing.
So your action steps are to discover and use your gifts. So a great way to start would be actually reading 1 Corinthians 12 on your own and just seeing what pops out to you and asking the Spirit to show you what abilities you do have and how you can contribute, how you can glorify Jesus and help the church. And then the last is to grow in this gift. It's important to learn from other people and to grow in your gift. As a homeschooler, I attend a conference every single year because I know I have a lot to learn, a lot to learn. And so it helps when I put in the time and the effort to learn and to grow. Mm-hmm. It makes me better.
Same is true for me as a pastor. I read, mm-hmm. I watch things, I attend conferences. And so just because you have a gift doesn't mean that's it. You grow, you develop your gift. And maybe if you're thinking like, I have no idea what gift I have. I don't even know where to start. Our encouragement would be start serving somewhere. The whole purpose of gifts is to serve. So you can't really do it wrong. Serve somewhere. And often I've found that it's by serving that you find out where your fit is. You serve one place and you're like, yeah, that's not really the best fit. You serve another place until you find a spot that you're like, I'm in my sweet spot. This is where God has gifted me and wants me to be. So start serving somewhere. There was two misunderstandings that we wanted to share with you before we close. So the first one, people think, I'm not needed. Misunderstanding, wrong. The second one is, I don't need others. Finish off 1 Corinthians. Paul writes, yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen, while other parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among members, so that all the members care for each other equally. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it.
Yeah, speaking of parts suffering, my mom recently broke her wrist, and it's become painfully jarring how important your wrist and your hand are to you, apparently. You know, she can't even open a water bottle without having the geyser effect happen. And also, you know, the things that you take for granted every day, it's hard to do those things. You don't realize how necessary all parts of your body are until one of them isn't working right. Just like with the church. It's easier when everyone is working together.
Yeah, all the parts are needed. But Paul found in Corinth that some were thinking, I don't need you. I got it all together. I don't need other people to take this faith journey. Where some felt they were unimportant, others felt they were more important. They thought their gifts made them better than other people, and they started to look down on others. They started to push other people down to lift themselves up. They used their gifts not for the sake of the church, but to glorify themselves. And that became incredibly destructive to the body. And often, God will need to refine our heart and humble us so that the gifts of the body can be more effective. And again, spiritual gifts are the great equalizer. No matter who you are, how talented you are, you don't have all the gifts. Just like our puzzle pieces today, you can't complete the puzzle by yourself. Other people have pieces that you need. And that's how God designed the body of Christ. No matter who you are, you don't have all the gifts. Other people have gifts that you need. You can't take this journey on your own. We need each other. And without each other, we are incomplete.
So your next action step is to honor and celebrate the gifts in others. So that requires a humble heart, going and looking at people and being able to call out the things in them. And so we need to look at other people and not just, we need to look not just to our own needs, but to the needs of others. We need to look not only at our own gifts, but call out the gifts in others and encourage people to use their gifts. Because we're all united in the same purpose, which is to glorify Jesus and to help the church.
Four letters in the alphabet that I want you to remember. I, C, N, U. That stands for I see in you. One of the most powerful things that you can do for another person is to help them see the gifts that are in them, to call out those gifts and invite them to use them to glorify God and to help the entire church. It literally can be life-changing. It was for me. When I went to Lewis University, one of the Catholic brothers there was the first to say, I see that you could be a pastor one day. At the time, that was the farthest thing from my mind. Had no career path intentions to be a pastor. I didn't even really think that I could be a pastor. But it was because he saw those gifts, called them out, and invited me to use my gifts as a part of the campus ministry that I embarked on a journey that brought me to where I am today. And I'm so grateful that he did that. And now as a pastor, I try to do that for other people, to help see gifts, to call out gifts, to invite people to use those gifts for ministry. And I've seen multiple examples of how that can change a person's life. And you can do that for other people. It takes a little bit of humility, though, and a little less self-focus to look beyond ourselves and pay attention to the people around us, to be a gift spotter. And when you see those gifts, call them out and invite them to use those gifts to glorify God and help the church. For example, if you're around somebody and they're just really friendly and outgoing, you could say, hey, have you ever thought about being a greeter or helping with our welcome ministry? If someone's really good with kids, say, hey, have you ever thought about serving with our children's or our student ministry? If someone is great at explaining things, say, hey, you're a good teacher. Have you ever thought about using that gift to teach other people? Or if someone's gifted musically, to say, have you ever thought about serving with our music team? I was talking with one of our worship directors named Ryan Hammer, and he was telling me about his trips to Guitar Center. And he said when he's in Guitar Center, he has an open ear. And if he hears somebody playing and they're good, he'll go up to them and he'll be like, hey, do you have a church? And if they do, great, that's wonderful. If not, he says, hey, I go to Good Shepherd. You should come. You sound great. We'd love to have you be a part of our team. You can do that for other people. Give them a gift that would change their life. Honor and celebrate the gifts of others.
Mm-hmm. And so our puzzle piece was meant to be an image of how the Holy Spirit comes in bearing gifts in your life. Gifts that serve a purpose, and our purpose is to glorify Jesus and help the church. So remember, our gifts are all going to be different. I'm not going to be singing or called out at Guitar Center. They're all going to be meant to be used, not sit on the shelf or in the basement or wherever you put things that you want to forget about. But they're going to be meant to be brought forth into the light and used for God's purposes. They're all going to be different, all unique, all necessary. Don't you hate it when you get to the end of a puzzle and you're missing a few pieces? All of the puzzle pieces you have are really necessary. And if you lose them, it's really sad. And you don't want to lose them because you need other people. You need to work together to create the whole picture.
Our two action steps then to follow up is, one is to discover and use your gifts. You cannot say, I am not needed. The Spirit has given you a gift. We need your gift. And so discover and use that gift, whether that means reading more about spiritual gifts, asking the Spirit to help you see what your gift is. If you need help, let us know on your response card. We'd love to help you and encourage you in that. Ask about it, discover it, use it. And the second step then is to honor and celebrate the gifts in others. You cannot say, I don't need you, or I don't need others. You don't have every gift. You need the gifts that are present in the body of Christ. And why not be the one that can help others see their gifts? Call those out. Invite people to use their gifts so that together we can glorify Jesus and serve the entire church. Well, on the yellow sheets in your prayer and action guide, there's a sermon notes and response card. And we invite you to take some time now to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. Check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, and then you can either put it in the offering basket with your offering or hand it to one of us on your way out. We're going to give you some time with God, and then we'll close us in prayer.